89.1 Jazz, 89.1 WEMU. Great news for music fans. Back in Ann Arbor tonight and tomorrow night at the Blue Llama Jazz Club in Ann Arbor, organist Joey DeFrancesco. Hey, it's great to talk to you. How's everything going?
Great to talk to you, too. Everything's going really well.
Okay.
It's good to be back at it and playing again. You know?
Indeed, indeed. That's a big question, which I kind of want to wait until the end. I want to just, you know, touch on some other stuff first. You know, as we speak, I want to let everybody know, tonight and tomorrow night, it's their dinner and a show format. If you have any questions, tickets, whatnot, the good folks at the Blue Llama can deal with all that. BlueLlamaClub.com. One long word. BlueLlamaClub.com. You know, before we talk about what's happening and everything, I think a lot of us in the music world, fans of jazz, organ musicians and whatnot, the life and legacy of the late Lonnie Smith, this really hit us with some big and sad news this week. Do you have some feelings, some enduring feelings about Dr. Lonnie Smith, or maybe some a first impression or whatever?
Well, sure. First of all, we were good friends, and we did a lot of things over the years together.
Uh-huh.
TV shows, a few recordings. We were all over the world doing different things together from time to time, and those were always great moments. He's been struggling with his health quite a bit for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And he was a strong man, fighter, and, you know, it saddens us to see him go, you know, but he left such a great catalog, and he had such, if you knew him, his spirit was so huge, you know, that's still going to be with us, you know?
Yeah. There's this incredible outpouring of love for the man and his music. If you had to like turn somebody on, I'm going to, you know, cause musicians, you know, have such a keen ear for art and whatnot. If you had to turn somebody on to Lonnie Smith, maybe expose them for the first time, is there a piece of music? I'm going to be guest DJ here for a minute. Joey DeFrancesco picks a representative Lonnie Smith track.
Well, you know, the thing is, Lonnie, that, you know, he's been at it since the 60s, you know,
right.
On the scene. He started out with George Benson's band, and he was basically still, you know, well, we all are always still learning how to play, but he was really new stages on the instrument back then.
Yeah.
And then he had some hit records on Blue Note. Those are great. One's called Move Your Hand.
Yeah.
That would probably be the first one I would suggest for somebody to check out.
Oh, cool. Cool. I will definitely spin it. I will definitely spin that as, you know, and credit you as being, you know, hey, yeah, it's a good, that's actually a super cool, funky thing. Yeah. That's a cool one. So Move Your Hand from Lonnie Smith on the way, later today. On WEMU. I'm speaking with organist Joey DeFrancesco. He is in town at the Blue Llama Jazz Club in Ann Arbor tonight and tomorrow night. Again, for complete information, tickets, all the good stuff, BlueLlamaClub.com. One long word. Your new album, it's been out a couple months now, More Music. I have to ask, though, I mean, you're playing the organ, piano, I think some keyboards, trumpet, tenor saxophone. You do some vocal work here. Are you still comfortable being called an organist? I almost feel like we should. Well, I usually say things like the multi-talented, you know, richly talented Joey DeFrancesco. But you think people are going to start putting you in the multi-instrumentalist category or something? Not that I hate to categorize musicians, but you display a lot of talent on a lot of instruments.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, and the album's fairly new. It came out officially September 24th, but I think maybe the radio station.
You're right, because we've been spinning it for you. Hey, well, you know what? There's a new Joey DeFrancesco record. Open it up and start playing it. It's like that's kind of our approach. So that's right. That's right.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's a little. Yeah, it's newer for everybody else, but that's right. So it's been only been out actually. Okay, a while now. Yeah.
Yeah. So the multi-instrumentalist thing. Well, that's who I am. I've been that for so many years.
Right.
You know, I get the big acknowledgement for the organ because I've kind of dominated that idiom so long now that's the first thing somebody's going to think of when they think of me. And that's my first voice.
Yeah.
You know, because I played that. That's what I started on. But I consider all the instruments, you know, people say secondary instrument, things like that. I consider all the instruments my instrument. I don't consider one first or second. I love them all equally. And, you know, the media and fans are, they can, you know, call it what they want.
There you go. What's the old adage? I don't care what you call me as long as you call me. You know, it's like get my name out there. You know, very good. I feel like we kind of know the vibe, the direction, and whatnot of you as an organist. But there are there trumpeters or tenor saxophonists that you in particular enjoy listening to, or you found, you know, very influential on your work?
Yeah, there's so many of them. But, you know, the thing is that my approach to playing the organ was always very influenced by horn players.
Okay.
I always thought of my left hand as a bass and my foot, left foot, and then my right hand was like either a tenor saxophone or a trumpet. And, you know, I'm going to list off all the names that everybody said, John Coltrane, Sonny Rollins, George Coleman. I love Charles Lloyd a lot, too.
Yeah.
And Pharoah Sanders and Joe Henderson.
Who you featured on your previous record, the great Pharoah Sanders. Yeah.
That's right. He's on my last record. And that is really what inspired me to want to pick up the tenor saxophone.
Okay.
So, I've been playing almost 3 years now. I dabbled with it many years ago for a couple of weeks, but then put it down. But over the past, in November it'll be 3 years, I've gotten very serious about it. And my grandfather was a reed man, so I had the opportunity to play his saxophone too. In fact, last time I was in Ann Arbor, I had it with me. I played there. At that point, I had only been playing for maybe 6 months, so I'm kind of brave. You know?
Okay, you're a courageous man. Yeah, it pays off. You know, there's probably a lesson in that for you're well established. You've been active in music for decades now and whatnot, and you're still adding new things, new voices, new insights. It's not, you know, you're not sticking with, you know, with one thing per se. That's got to be some inspiration. Do you kind of like pass that along to other musicians or just audience members? It's like, hey, you know, pick up an instrument, learn a craft. You know,
definitely. Well, the thing is once I've been playing music for 46 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about it is once, you know, you get one instrument that you get pretty familiar with, like I always say, you know, that you keep exploring with one instrument forever, but, you know, and then having all the instruments that people that you listen to, you have these sounds in your head. So you have a pretty good idea, even before you pick up another instrument, what you have in mind to have for a sound. And then it's just a matter of learning how to work the instrument mechanically, you know?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So it doesn't take as long. It's not as hard as everybody thinks once you got one that you know, if you've been around it. Okay. And I'm around all these cats all the time.
Right.
So I've always been interested in the other instruments. I'm very observant and ask a lot of questions. So.
Yeah. Stay inquisitive. You mentioned being on the scene and being an active musician for over 40 years. You're part of this generation of musicians. You know, a few years ago, everyone was tagged as a young lion. You've been roaring for years now. How do you think your perspective has changed, say, since the, you know, earlier days, 80s and 90s, up to today? You know, you're an established leader now and everything. How do you, what do you think has been a big change in the way you look at the music art or the music business?
Well, the music business is, you know, is something that I've never been very good at, you know, and I never had the right representation for many years. Over the past 10 years,
mm-hmm.
I've had excellent representation.
Okay.
Which has been my wife, Gloria. She does all the business stuff, and she also is part of the musical part, too, with producing and mixing and all that. So it's been good for me to have somebody that really pays attention to that. That was something I wasn't interested in. And so I like to be all about music, but I've seen a lot of things change over the years. And when I first was on the scene, a record deal was a major thing to have. And I was with a major label. I was with Columbia Records,
right.
My first five records. And, you know, there were real recording budgets because you didn't have the piracy. You didn't have the internet like
mm-hmm.
you do now. And so it was a different kind of vibe. You actually sold a lot of records, you know.
Right.
And so it's just, and there was a lot of clubs, but there's still a lot of clubs, and it's always good. That's why a new club like this, only a couple years old, is so good to have venues like this to be able to play for people, you know. That's the business part. The music part, you know, I mean, we just keep trying to push it forward. There's a lot of young guys that are playing really great, and the music is really moving and in good hands. And you continue, for me, I just try to be more and more innovative. I'm more in touch with the spiritual side of things. I've always felt that music was extremely spiritual for me. But as you mature as a human being, till you learn more about that and understand and get more closer to it, you know?
I'm speaking with Joey DeFrancesco. He and his group are in town tonight and tomorrow night at the Blue Llama Jazz Club in Ann Arbor. Complete information, tickets, all the good stuff, BlueLlamaClub.com. You had the honor of actually playing the grand opening for the Blue Llama Jazz. Boy, it feels like ages ago. It seems like the last couple of years have taken a little longer than a couple of years. In the before time, you played the grand opening for the Blue Llama. You're back at it, back on the road, and playing the club again. When you play venues that you are familiar with, are you does the music take on a different level or something? Because you don't have to like learn the room or whatnot, or you're more familiar. Do you feel like more comfortable in a venue you know?
Not really. I mean, I love all venues. I love playing everywhere. You always figure out how to play pretty quickly, especially when you've been at it as long as I have.
All right, okay.
But you do have certain venues that you look forward to going to because you dig the vibe of the place,
right,
the people that are there, and the whole vibe in the city it's in. And this one is definitely one. I've always loved playing Ann Arbor. I remember the days of playing at the Bird of Paradise.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah. That was back in the day.
So that's always... Yeah. So it's always been a pleasure to play that town, and I always it had a special meaning for me. And when I got to play Blue Llama in 2019, I was really pleased to see such a beautiful venue.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. I want to thank you really for your time and whatnot, but I do want to ask you one big question. It's maybe not that big of a question. How do you feel, I guess I'm asking a kind of a state of jazz question, in light of the pandemic, in light of COVID, you know, some venues have been impacted. Of course, musicians have slowed down, but I want to ask you this question because it's like recordings. We've gotten about basically as many jazz recordings as we do on any given year. And I've been telling a lot of people, you know, this is actually really kind of a cool era for jazz records. There's a lot of different records out there, people making really, really great statements. How do you feel jazz is doing in lights? And I'm not so much the business, but maybe a bit of the business, but also the art. How do you feel the music is doing, you know, at this stage of the pandemic? What do you feel like the state of jazz is vis-a-vis COVID?
Well, I think, you know, it put a lot of people in a position where they had to stay home, and, you know, I was always moving around a lot and playing and, you know, doing my best to keep it together when I had downtime, you know, working on music and working on my instruments and things like that. But, you know, to have that much time, I mean, the last gig I did in 2019 was March 15th, right? And then everything shut down the next day, basically. So it was a bittersweet moment. At first, it was really strange, but then it was kind of a bittersweet moment in time where we could really, you had nothing else to do but zone in and focus on what your interests are, so you didn't go crazy. And a studio situation for recording can be a very safe environment if done properly. So it made it possible for, okay, so if we're not going to be on the road, let's get it together and get in the studio and do some of these. I'd take this opportunity to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think a lot of cats have been very prolific, like you said, and there was a lot of live streaming going on. I didn't do a whole lot of that. When I did, I usually did it. I did it, actually, for no cost, just for people
right,
to be able to join in and enjoy some music. But it's opened up a lot of opportunities for people to do that, and, you know, it's just... it's important to play live, though, for audiences. Streaming is cool, but, you know, the most important to share this music is to be able to share it with a live audience, because there's nothing like that. But I think the state of jazz is okay, and I think, you know, it was rough, like you said, for the businesses and clubs, but now things are coming around, and we have to move on and we got to get through this. We can't stay locked up forever. So, you know, we got to do things in the most safest way we can and keep everything going.
Very good. Very good. The new album, Mac Avenue release, More Music. That's what it's called, More Music. And we certainly have that. Joey DeFrancesco and his group tonight and tomorrow night at the Blue Llama Jazz Club in downtown Ann Arbor. Again, for complete information, BlueLlamaClub.com. Joey DeFrancesco, thank you for your time. We look forward to your shows this weekend.
Thanks for having me, Mike, and I look forward to being there. Very excited.